Okay, so you get me again, I'm afraid. I wanted to talk a little bit about making the data work harder. That's how I've termed it. There's going to be some repetition in here, but I like to think of it as positive reinforcement of some of the messages that you've heard today. And it's probably quite good that I'm repeating some of the things Jiska's saying, because it kind of shows that we're thinking along the same lines, so that's good. I've also called it some personal reflections, because I think that means that nobody can tell me that I'm wrong about it, because it's my personal reflections, for one thing. But actually, what I really wanted to do is think about, having worked on the Archives Hub for the last 8 years, I think, and managed it for the last few years, I wanted to just think about some of the things that I think have been really important for the development of the Hub, and also some of the things that I think UCAD is trying to address. So I wanted to bring those things together. And this is what I ended up with. Nothing. That's it. Delayed. Okay. So, oh, me E's down there. It wasn't like that earlier. It was perfect. So that's all the National Archives fault. Okay. So what I wanted to do was really think about the data at the heart of everything, because I'm thinking about the investment that we make in the data. Now, archives differ usually from libraries in that often archive collections, the effort that goes into cataloguing an archive is really, you know, quite often quite a lot of effort. And an archive can be cataloged over weeks and sometimes over months. So when you think of the effort that goes into doing that, the research time and getting the archive organised and creating the finding aid, I really think it behoves us to think more about how we can then make the most of that finding aid that we end up with. And really, that's one of the things that we in the Archives Hub spend quite a lot of time thinking about on behalf of the archives across the UK that contribute their descriptions to us. So I've got six areas here that I wanted to talk about. It's not obviously not an exhaustive list, and they're not kind of equal in any way exactly, but I just think that all of these six areas have been particularly important for what we do. The first one is probably the most difficult. I was just out there talking about the LOCA, the Linked Data Project that we're a part of at the moment, and that's a classic example, actually. I come from a traditional background. I trained as an archivist. I worked in a local authority archive. I worked in a specialist repository. And then I became this kind of slightly weird archivist that doesn't actually have any collections and just deals with the metadata. And as a result, my job is more kind of technical, more about the online environment and dissemination of data. And one of the challenges I've found about being an archivist on the Archives Hub is really just the kind of acquiring of knowledge. And Joy, who's my line manager, will tell you this, because when we have a PDR, I say, I just don't feel like I know enough, and I don't know what I need to know, and you know, I don't get time to do it. And I think a lot of people feel that kind of sense. And what I've put here is kind of random. I mean, I just wrote them instantly when I was thinking about what do I need to know. These are all some of the things that I've had to try and grapple with, try and understand. And it's very difficult to know what you need to know what's out there that you need to know. And there are things that you don't know that you need to know. And so it goes on. So it's kind of, I found it one of the most challenging things working on the Archives Hub. And so I just want to maybe, I can't find a definite answer for it, but I want to address it a little bit in what I'm going to say about some of the other areas. So the second area that I wanted to focus on is sharing. And when I thought about sharing, I realised that I would probably think of that in two different ways. Sharing in terms of sharing knowledge, so I've already talked about the knowledge, and that is one of the ways that we can grapple with what's out there and what we need to know. We can have forums like this, we can have things like UCAD, we can have our listserv and so forth, where we can share our knowledge and benefit from what we know as a group. And then we can put that into some more kind of concrete projects through collaboration. And so this really is at the heart, to me, of what UCAD is trying to achieve, one of the things it's really trying to achieve. In the world that we're in now as archivists, we aren't going to be able to deal with these kind of things, the sort of things that David was talking about earlier, without sharing our understanding and without coming together to collaborate and work on these things together. I think it's kind of really vital. What I've listed here is some ways that we do or may do this, which I think is quite important. And when I was thinking about knowledge and how we share knowledge, typically in the past or more traditionally, we would do that through articles, using the Society of Archivists journal, other journals. That's something we know about, and a lot of archivists are happy writing those kind of articles. Of course, that's quite passive consumption of knowledge, but it's still a means to share knowledge. Conferences, slightly more kind of interactive, but still often somebody talking and people listening. But what we've tried to do today is make it more interactive. We hope that's worked. I think email lists have worked quite well for archives, and the Archives NRA email list is quite a lively discussion list, and I've noticed a lot of the other JISC mail lists have kind of fallen into disuse maybe, but we do love our list, especially when we start talking about things like the curiosities that we have in the archives and that sort of thing.
It tends to get us going.
And that's a more interactive, a way we can discuss our knowledge. Social media is another way that is coming to the fore, and some of us are embracing that fully. Maybe some of us are a little bit more reserved about it. For the Archives Hub, we've had a huge success with using Twitter. We started quite early on, and I think we have 2,000 followers now. Bethan's not in here. It's grown. It's just been brilliant, and a lot of them send messages to us and we message back, and it's really grown our profile and allowed us a really good dialogue with people that follow us. And UCAD, as I've said, I hope. Collaboration. I don't think we've been as good as we need to be at collaboration, and we still maybe tend to think in terms of collaborating between our archivists collaborating, if you like. But we need to start thinking more broadly. I mean, RDTF is all about this kind of more of a cultural heritage, museums, libraries, archives kind of collaboration. And then you get into the slightly difficult area of collaborating with developers and with IT support. And this is something that I've talked about and written about quite a lot, because I think it's really key. David was talking earlier, and I'm going to talk as well about APIs and things like that, where as archivists, we might start to understand the importance of these things, but they're quite difficult to get your head round, and you need to have developers that you can go to and say, well, I think this is what we need, and you can have a kind of a constructive dialogue with them. So that's something that I think we really need to work on. And my beyond is really thinking about who else that we might collaborate with. Like the LOCA project, I feel, has been quite successful, and we've got a really good collaboration with MIMAS, UConn, EduServe, and Talis have been involved as well. So it's a collaboration amongst information professionals, moving out beyond the cultural heritage and kind of archives domain. So this is where there's kind of some repetition, but I suppose there's inevitably repetition, because if you're thinking about your data, one of the absolute key things that we all know we need to think about is what do our users need, what do our users want, and in some ways it still feels like the holy grail, the really difficult thing to achieve, to know exactly what people want. So what should our priorities be? How can we meet the needs of our users? How can we grow our user base by providing them on the Archives Hub or whatever else it is with what they need? Thinking about reflecting on user needs, again, we've typically done it through quite passive means, but there are some great reports, articles that I've read on user behaviour that we've brought into the Hub when we're thinking about the same sort of thing. So there's quite a lot you can get out of learning what other people have done in terms of studying the way that users use and understand archives. Conversation, I think, is really critical. It's one of those things that sounds obvious, but I think, you know, we're not so bad at having conversations with users. You know, we have that face-to-face kind of meeting with users in the reading room and so forth. But conversation through all the other channels that I was talking about as well, as and where we can. Focus groups is another more traditional means, something that I found people often talk about, but I don't think many of them actually happen, because I think in this day and age it's quite hard to physically bring people together. So maybe we should start thinking about more online kind of focus groups, thinking about focus groups in a different kind of way, but still can be very useful. I think surveys, of course, surveys are becoming kind of ubiquitous now. And I slightly kind of think, oh no, we're going to put out another survey and people are going to say the archives are putting out another survey. But of course, now you can put out online surveys, it does make it much easier. And the sort of information that we can get back from that is so invaluable to us. It's just very difficult when you're competing with 101 other organisations putting out their surveys. But one thing that I think is really crucial with surveys, and a lot of people really fall short here, is they're often very badly designed, and I think there's a skill in designing a good survey. So that's something that we can collaborate and talk about as well. Use of logs, analytics, that sort of thing, to understand how our users are using our collections is very important. Something we maybe don't know as much about as we should, and something that we can collaborate on. We can, like for example, we use Google Analytics and we've used it for a long time. These are the sorts of things that we often blog about on the Archives Hub blog. We do try to share knowledge about what we've done and what we've learned through these kinds of things. So Google Analytics, you know, it has a lot of weaknesses and flaws, but it does provide some useful information to let us know how people are looking through the Archives Hub. And we also have, obviously, our logs, which I have no idea what goes on there, but the stats come out and that's useful. and I'm going to slightly disagree with David here, because I put being a user at the bottom. And I think there is a valid role for us to play. There are times when we can put ourselves in the place of a user, maybe in some contexts in particular. So I've taught archive students where I've asked them to go and look at other websites, look at different websites. You know, what are their initial impressions of those websites? Do they understand what the website is? How easy is it to search? What does it come up with? How easy is it to understand the results that they come up with? So it might not be as good as working with genuine users, if you want to call them that, because we have a prior knowledge, but it still can actually teach you an awful lot, and it's something I've learned to do a lot. If I come across examples of good websites or anything like that, I will always bookmark them and go back to them. Right, I don't know whether this is controversial now. I think we've all accepted it, really, so I don't think you have to say Google and take a deep breath or anything anymore. To me, you know, I've put this in the six that I came up with, because I just think it's absolutely essential for us to surface our descriptions on Google. It's essential that people searching in Google for blah, blah, archive or papers or collection, that there's at least a fighting chance that they can get Archives Hub descriptions back. And we've had a long road towards making that possible for all sorts of quite complicated reasons, which I should probably blog about, because, again, it was quite an interesting kind of learning curve, because for various reasons we can't just open the Archives Hub up to Google for reasons of performance of the system, and the fact that it wouldn't. It might stop performing. And some of the things I've put here are to do with how you can help to make sure that your descriptions are accessible via Google, using good markup and this search engine optimization. The Archives Hub took part in a JISC kind of case study project looking at search engine optimization, and again I provided quite a detailed blog on that, and we provided information to JISC, and it's the sort of thing I'd be happy to talk to people about. Quite an interesting project. Persistent identifiers, I think, are absolutely key now, and I think all archives should be thinking in terms of all their finding aids should have persistent identifiers for Google and for other reasons. and a sitemap, which is what we had to create for Google to index our collections, which I don't know much about either. But the point is that I needed to know enough to go to somebody and say, I think this is what we need to do, and talk to them about it, you know, one of our developers.